I'm Cheryl McQuaid. I'm at the Lansing Car Assembly Labor Relations Conference Room. It's October 11th, 2005, approximately 12:30 p.m. We're about to interview Bill Almey. Bill, would you state your name, spell your last name, and your address also, please?
My name's Bill Almey, A-L-M-Y. I live at 5351 Schaefer Road, Ionia, Michigan.
And we want to take a moment to acknowledge everybody else that's present in the room.
Doreen Howard.
Linda Johnson.
Marilyn Coulter.
Doug Rademacher, Fisher Body Historical Team.
Bill, do you remember, could you tell us what your seniority date is and what you remember about your first day walking into this plant?
September 4th, 1984. And I think what I remember the most is I didn't know my way around. People actually escorted me to different locations, and I was kind of lost. I remember that. I was worried that I couldn't find my way around.
What department and shift did you hire in?
I hired in on afternoons, and I hired in on the body shop. I should probably back up a second, because I actually have a broken seniority date. I hired in here first in 1968, after high school, and worked in the old paint department, and that was just same thing. I was lost in that area too. It took me a while to learn my way around there, and I worked there a year, and then I got drafted in the military. I was gone for 2 years. And when I came back to paint department. The area was a little more familiar then because I'd spent some time there. So, and then I worked one more year and then decided I didn't care for General Motors and I quit. And then I came back again in 84 with a journeyman's card as a toolmaker. Was lucky actually to get hired back in. And that's... The plant had changed quite a bit in those 11, 12 years or so, and once again, I was kind of lost.
What kind of changes did you see?
The structure, the interior of the plant, how they move things around. And in the old paint days, I believe the paint shop was where the executive car garage is now, somewhere in that area. I think paint mix is where the shipping dock is now. So there was quite a few changes, and I was used to kind of walking in that part of the plant. And then when I hired back in 84, it was a new route of entry, and it was kind of different. So it took me a while to find my way around once again. And of course, the body shop had completely changed from the 60s.
The first time that you hired in, were you on the day shift or night shift then?
I was on afternoons.
And are you married? Do you have children?
Yes, I've been married for 33 years. I have three children, ages 31. My oldest son, my daughter, is 28, and my youngest son is 26. And I have two grandchildren as well.
What was it like working on the second shift with young children at home?
That's probably one of the most difficult parts, is because you had to leave home in the active part of the day when the kids were up and around, and that was a tough part. Plus, in the summer, it was good weather as well when you left, so it was kind of tough. I didn't like afternoons anyway, so it made it rough.
You worked in the body shop area, you said, when you came in here. What did you do in the body shop, and describe a little bit of the environment of the body shop?
Well, I hired in as a fixture repairman, and my job was to maintain the tools and equipment and keep it running and answer service calls and do preventative maintenance as well. So... And I primarily was the body shop. That's where I spent most of my time. So the underbody tools, the door tools, roof tools, wheelhouse fixtures, every pretty much all the tools that were in that area. So it was a lot of times it was mainly carrying a radio and answering calls.
Did you
So, Bill, now, what is it, when you first came in and you were a tool person, were you readily accepted when you came in by the other tool makers when you came in from off the street with your journeyman's car?
Yeah, for the most part, it was a good team, and everybody got along quite well. And we had a lot of new hires in the 80s because of the plant had been, was going through, I think it was the GMX-20 car. I believe that's which one it was. So the plant had been cleaned out, and they were putting new tools in, so I came in under and worked on the pilot team with new tools, so that was quite interesting. So for the most part, there was a lot of new hires, a lot of new production and skilled trades in the plant, and we got along pretty well because we were all in the same situation. It was new to us.
The first time you hired in, it was Fisherbody. Second time when you hired in, was it Fisherbody then, or?
I think that was the BOC transition in the 80s. I believe that was the next move.
How did you feel about that?
It was still Fisherbody to me. It didn't. To this day, you know, it hasn't changed much. The signs changed, but the people, we all seem to relate to one plant.
Bill, you have we have what's called non-traditional jobs, which are jobs that are different from regular operations inside the plant. Now, have you and do you have those types of jobs?
Yeah, I was quite fortunate when I came to this plant because I noticed they had things like bulletin boards that had a lot of neat information, and union activities, and opportunities such as job postings available and non-traditional. And I spotted one, about 1985 or 86, they were looking for a technical trainer. So I signed that posting and was interviewed. And it wasn't actually the job that I wanted, but it got my foot in the door because I found out that they're also looking for health and safety instructors. So, and a year and a half later, so I got on as a safety trainer, and which was quite new as a non-traditional type job. So,
and what kind of safety training did you do?
Everything that was in the course catalog. There was 40-some classes, and our staff facilitated every one of those. Some of us had more classes than the others, but for the most part, we taught to everything that was required in health and safety.
So what types of, can you describe a couple of those classes, what they might be like?
Well, the most popular one probably ones was the safety lockout training and confined space entry training. Hazard communication was a big one because that was dictated by the federal government and big push. Hazard materials classes, industrial truck licensing, flatbed scooter, aerial lift.
So when you say safety lockout, what is that?
Safety lockout, that is the process of de-energizing a tool, a piece of equipment, to a point where it's safe to enter that tool and work. You physically shut down the energy sources so you can work on it without being injured.
And now, when exactly did you say you started as a trainer?
I was on and off several times over about a 3-year period, so I think I went on for a short period in 1986. Mm-hmm. And I got called back or laid off, whatever you want to call it. Brought back to my tools several times because of it was a kind of a tug of war between the department wanting me on the tools and the safety department wanting me to train. So that struggle went on for about a year and a half, and I'm guessing about 87 or so or 88 I went on as full-time as a trainer, probably about 1987. They quit yanking me back and forth.
Was there any specialized training that you yourself had to receive before you could become a certified trainer, or were you going to these same classes? I assume you had to go through some of the same classes that you actually ended up teaching.
Well, they put you through some orientations, some pro trainer courses, a lot of vendor classes on stand-up skills and course development, and things like that. And then you had to train be taught or train or work with a seasoned or a qualified trainer to understand the classes that you're going to be teaching. So you had to study it, learn it, work with a trainer, and then they would give the blessing that you were far enough along to go on your own. Okay, so that went on, printed for every class that was in the course catalog that was required until you'd achieved a status of qualified, and then you're on your own. So that could take 6 months to a year to get that point to that point.
So what other types of training have you done?
I did, so I was on the health and safety staff probably for 13, maybe 14 years. And then I got a chance to move to team build training. So I did that for approximately a year and a half to 2 years. And then that pretty much exhausted itself as the plant was shutting down. And I got an opportunity to do some needs analysis and then a chance came to be a scheduler and be on the part of the launch team for the Delta Township plant. So I moved in as a they offered, wanted to know if I wanted to be a body shop training scheduler. So that's what I'm doing today.
Billy, you talked about hiring in back in the 60s or so into the paint department. Can you share a little bit about your first hire in? You say you came back and recognized opportunity on the union boards and things. So what did you, when you hired into the paint department, did you not see those opportunities then? Or describe what it was like to work in the paint department back in those decades.
Well, I think I was basically looking for a job back then. I was out of high school, and I'd had a few part-time jobs and jobs that didn't pay well. And when I got a chance to come to General Motors, like most of the high school kids were doing, it was pretty easy to get in, and it was a good job. So that was my first goal, was to get in there. And I didn't really have any motivation to go to college at the time. I tried college a couple times and didn't care for it. And I didn't have a family, so about the only thing I needed was a paycheck, and that fulfilled it. So I didn't look at opportunities back then like I do now, or even did in the 80s. So I think they existed, but I'm certain it wasn't as clear as it was in the 80s and 90s and now, at this period. So,
do you remember the job you did in the paint department?
Yes, I worked on a line where they put in these sealer plates for the water. After they went through wet deck and was washed, they had to have a way for the water to get out of the floor pan, so they had these holes. And then my job was to, after they'd been cleaned, I had to put those plates in and seal around them and drop them in place. There was a couple other parts to that job as well, but basically that was it.
Do you have a favorite boss that you worked for? Do you, any of them stick out in your memory?
Oh, I've had a lot of excellent supervisors over the years, so no. I can't think of a favorite one.
Do you have an Billy's favorite?
Well, several of those. Yes. Several, yeah.
Did you notice any difference in the management skills from when you first hired in to say now?
I think there was a big change. It seems like in the 60s, it was a little more good old boys, one-on-one type friends, and the same with enemies. If the boss didn't care for you, it was kind of adversarial. And when I came back in the 80s, it seemed like we were more team concept. We worked together with production. I worked with production and engineering and supervision, and it seemed like we were all on the same team, and you didn't notice adversarial and anything like that going on. Any challenges? I mean, personality conflicts, they didn't see it quite as much. So there was some big changes in that period of time that I was away from the corporation.
You live in Ionia now. Have you always lived in Ionia?
I lived in the area. I went to school in Portland. So that's pretty close to Ionia.
Do you have any relatives here in this plant? Or used to be here?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall. I have relatives at the Oldsmobile plants, but not Fisher.
As the body shop trainer, scheduler for Delta Township, you schedule people for classes, summer, and whatever else needs to be scheduled. You spoke about team build and being a team build trainer. What is the difference between the team build concept and the new GMS concept that we are going through now? And kind of explain some of that process.
Well, I think the team build concept that I was introduced to several years ago, I think it was thought through and organized in design, but I don't think it was researched well enough to be a proven procedure or process. I think they tended to throw it at us and said, this is what the corporation believes will work. Let's do it. And as I taught the class, I could see more. I could see that clearly certain parts was not going to work, and then therefore, when you facilitate in front of an audience, you know their feeling. They're not stupid. They can pick up on that. So I don't think there was real good buy-in, and I don't think it was researched well. GMS, I think this is the second go-around. I think it's a second attempt to make this partnership work. And I think it had a little more time and effort put into it. I went through GMS, and it looks and appears that it's better organized and thought through a little better, and it is a proven concept. And I'm certain that 100% of that's not going to work either, but it looks like it's a better direction to go.
Bill, you said that when you left in the 60s and then came back in the 80s, you noticed a difference in the way management did business. You said in the 60s it was more adversarial or good old boy. Did you notice a change in the way union did business also?
Once again, I didn't pay a lot of attention to what was going on around me in the 60s, although I knew who my committee person was and who my supervisor was, but I guess I wasn't there. With 2 years in the military and then 2 years actually working on the line, maybe I didn't tend to observe as well as I should have or pay attention, So I didn't notice it quite as much in the 60s as I did when I came back in the 80s.
Were you formally introduced to your committee representative, or did you just know who they were?
No, they did introductions. They came down. You know who the person was. Mm-hmm. And I never, on very few occasions, did I have a need for a committee call back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Working conditions, Bill. You get health and safety background. You realize what the plant makeup or environment should look like. When you came in the 60s versus up until now in the year 2005, talk about the differences then as now and some of the facelifts this particular planet went through to get to where it is today.
I think probably health and safety kind of jumps, your safety conditions kind of jump out compared to when you compare the 60s to the 80s. And one thing that I didn't notice the first time I hired in that I did think about later on in life was the lack of safety procedures and precautions, things like guarding, proper guarding, and personal protective equipment. Those things just kind of jump out at you. The things that we didn't do back then, the way we washed solvent from our hands, and that probably helped start the hazard communication program from OSHA was the damages that people did to themselves. So you could see paint mixers and people in paint repair washing their hands in solvent. That was the way they removed the paints and the contaminants. And it seemed like the thing to do. But later on in life we find out maybe it wasn't such a good idea. So I think the how we use chemicals was a huge change in mechanical protection and energy lockout. People didn't carry safety locks. They threw a disconnect back in the 60s and that was good enough. They flipped the light switch off and that was good enough. That was adequate. You know, so that was probably the biggest thing that glared out at me.
Bill, as far as with union activities, were you very active in your union at all?
I was on the education committee for 2 terms. Participated in union awareness activities, worker-to-worker things. Union picnics, things like that.
Can you say what worker-to-worker is? That one people may not know what worker-to-worker means.
I'm not certain I know what it means, to tell you the truth. It seemed to get dropped upon us and had great aspirations, but it didn't seem to go anywhere. So I'm not sure where it's at today. I'm not sure where it's headed, but it appeared to be a method of communication between union and workers and it never really got off the ground too well.
Okay. Did you ever participate in departmental dinners or parties?
Mm-hmm. Retirement-type dinners and holiday, special occasion-type dinners, fundraisers, yes.
Were the retirement dinners, were they like potluck, or did you order out?
Sometimes both. Most of the time, we just kicked in money and ordered out.
Do you remember any of, or were any pranks or new hire initiations pulled on you, or did you pull any on anybody else?
I don't know if they were new hire pranks. I remember guys got a little carried away with the pressurized water extinguishers. That seemed to be a big hit. Taking those off the wall and spraying people. Sometimes they would haul guys around in them red, them orange gondolas in with a shop truck, and there'd be somebody inside with one of them canisters spraying people. That was quite popular.
Oh, I missed it.
Those things happened on afternoons a lot. But I know then security would run around and try to find out who emptied the canister, and so security was always looking for us.
What do you think is your most appreciated bargain benefit?
Bargain benefit? I would have to say the tuition assistance. That's probably this. You know, I know it's not, but to me it jumps out at me because it was an opportunity that people should take advantage of, and a lot of people don't. You know, and medical benefits certainly is huge. You know, the pension plan is huge benefit. I think we tend to take for granted those things, where the educational benefits, I had to reach out and grab it and take advantage of. The other ones just were kind of automatic, so.
I see on your data sheet there that you had a degree from Northwood.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use the tuition assistance program to help fund your education there, or was that something that you did prior to coming into General Motors?
No, that's why I mentioned that it probably was real important to me, because it was an opportunity I took advantage of. It was about the time my kids were thinking about college, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, maybe I should go back to school. So, yeah, I used the tuition assistance for my degree.
So what do you have a degree?
In business administration from Northwood.
Has a coworker impacted your personal life or your family life?
Well, I think many coworkers have done that. I think that I can't cite an individual one if that's what you're looking for, but I think throughout my time here, there's been several people that have done things give examples or just plain coached a little bit on what to do and how to do it and certain things. I think we got such an array of talent and individuals in our organization that can't help but learn something or be motivated by an individual. I to cite one specifically, I probably can't. But.
Do you have any special talents or hobbies or anything that you shared with anyone?
Well, I've always enjoyed hunting, so we constantly talk that among fellow trades and other people, that hunting experiences, and that's always good for quite a long conversation, and it's comes back every year to repeat itself, so you can bring it up every year. I've always belonged to a health club or the YMCA, so I'm always running into people that like to do YMCA club activities, so we're always sharing those experiences and running into people at the clubs, health clubs.
You are in the training arena. Do you view the line worker as your brother and sister?
Absolutely. We count on them to pretty much, at least as a repair person or as a tool maker, to help us figure out what's wrong with the equipment and even in some cases how to fix it. They look at the equipment all day long. They know it better than anybody, and they're an excellent resource. So a lot of times when we respond to a call, the person running that piece of equipment's got a good idea what's wrong with it. It makes our job real easy, I think that was a major asset that General Motors and leadership took advantage of probably in the 83-84 model change they did that time. They incorporated the assistance of production and actually listened to them. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing that I noticed.
Bill, they're talking about tearing this place down, the Fisher Body building itself. What's your best memory of the Fisher Body plant?
I would think, I guess I think back in the 60s, getting hired in, it seemed like we were all about the same age group. So, and I knew a lot of people back then, classmates that worked at the plant, and we rode together, we carpooled, and I think it was just the people that you knew in the plant. It was quite a friendly environment. And in the 80s, I kind of came in here as a lone soldier. I didn't know anyone when I came in, and I hired in here. I had to kind of make new friends, and I run into a few people I knew, but for the most part, I didn't know anyone when I got here. So I guess the fondest memories would be fellow workers and working together with them.
In the training arena, Bill, you train people throughout this area, not just the Fisher Body plant. Talk about some of the diversity and the people that you train in the regions that they come from, inner city and whatever. What did you see there?
I think probably the biggest thing I noticed was people that had moved from other plants, locations. The Lansing team seemed to be, and it didn't matter what local it was in Lansing, they seemed to be quite receptive to training and you got to know them after a couple years because they were in and out of class a lot, and they knew me, and they probably could remember my name before I could remember theirs. But a lot of times from the other plants, a person might have had to transfer to keep their job, so they transferred to Lansing. A lot of times they came in with, they weren't happy about moving. They wanted to stay with their home plant that they'd hired into, so they had a bit of an attitude that they had to adjust to, and we had to kind of help them get through that. So you had to kind of sell this training package, why do we need safety training, you know, don't shoot the messenger, but this is a good thing. There's a reason we're getting this training. So it seemed like the Lansing group was quite easy to work with. You know, the Lansing teams, the Lansing locals, and even the leadership and everyone. It seemed like it was quite easy to work with. And I wasn't sure about some of the transfers that came in. You know. But, I mean, there's good people everywhere, but I just got the feeling that they weren't happy coming in. And I think it was just the fact that they were more or less forced to move.
As this facility is winding down and you look out there and take a look around and they're disassembling the plant, give me your feelings on what, I guess, what do you feel about that? How, you know, is that a good thing as far as, you know that you're going to be going to someplace else, or is it sad, or, you know, what, I guess, what feelings are you getting from this?
I guess you'd have to say it's kind of a bittersweet experience because there's some side effects and some change that's not pretty or not comfortable, and leaving this plant that's provided a job for so many thousands of people for so many years has been a very good thing, and we're fortunate to get a new plant, so that's the upside of it, I guess. So there's good and bad with the whole thing, and with growth, you know, there comes change, and we have to continue to do that. And especially in this technology, it's a highly competitive market. We've got to stay up with technology and learn to grow in this. I'm going to miss this plant, you know, but its time has come, I guess.
Bill, in the training arena, what's your thought on how do you see the interaction between yourself and the training arena, plus women and minorities? Is there a fair amount, equal amount? Has it grown over the 20 years you've been active in this now?
I would say, I'd have to say in training that it's probably not a fair amount. And for years I've often wondered why there wasn't more women on the training staffs. For the 13, 14 years I worked in health and safety training, I recall three female instructors, and I think currently they're down to two. So I don't know if it's not a desirable profession, or I don't know the specifics of that why, but it always seemed like there should be a better balance in that area.
Did you ever go on strike?
Yes. I can't remember the year it was. It was in the 80s, I believe. And care to pick a side? It was a short strike. It seemed like it was 4 days or 5 days, something like that. So it didn't last long. I had been on strike years ago at my previous plant, so it wasn't nothing new to me. It was, you know, it's kind of scary, but. So I'd been on the picket line before, so it wasn't a totally new experience.
What plant did you work at before you came to Denver?
I worked at General Tire in Ionia. I worked 11 years there.
Oh, and so you went to the tire company, then you came into a lot of... Now, were you a skilled trades person there also?
Or? Yeah, I hired in there in the 70s on production. And was on production, inspection, and then got into an apprenticeship program. That's how I got my toolmaker card, journeyman's card. They actually produced fiberglass parts. They didn't produce tires.
Did you find that many people, once you came to this plant, that they used the apprenticeship program here?
Oh, yeah. I was pretty impressed. Actually, I was one of the first apprentices at General Tire. So that was a new program there. But when I came to Lansing, I found out they'd had apprenticeship programs. When I came to GM and UAW shops, I found out they'd had apprenticeship programs for years and years and years. And I was pretty impressed with it. And as a health and safety instructor, I was responsible for delivering. They had 10 different modules for apprentice training. So I had to, I was the apprentice health and safety instructor. I got the luxury of doing all those. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I could relate to the guys that, yes, I was an apprentice once. So be patient and you'll graduate.
You view co-workers as brothers and sisters. I was curious, have you developed friendships with any of your co-workers that now is extended outside of the plant that you spend time with or do functions with?
I think so. There's quite a few of us that attend picnics and travel to trade shows and Black Lake, and we seem to stick together pretty good. And for the most part, yeah, there's several of us that go to each other's house once in a while and for an occasion, whatever. Yeah.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. Is there anything that we didn't ask that you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything.
For those people who may have 9, 10 years of seniority, what words of wisdom would you like to leave with them?
I would recommend that they come to work when they're supposed to, and because it's an opportunity to work for this corporation and be represented by this union, because it's going to be hard to replace that once they're gone. You know, I came from a shop that was organized, but it was a constant struggle to maintain what we had in our local agreement, and so I know what it's like in one of those plants. And I come here, and there's a lot of opportunity here, and we're well represented. So I would say come to work, keep your job.
Bill, do you remember one of the worst jobs that you've had here in the plant?
I'd have to say the one that flashes back to me was in the 80s when I worked, in the 60s, 68 through 72 when I worked in paint department. When I came back from the service, I got a utility job, and quite often I'd have to go upstairs to spray the deadener in the rear of the wagons. And I was at the right about, just the right height where my head would just about hit, looking inside the wheel well. And I remember the gentleman that taught me how to spray made it look very easy, so I thought, this is a piece of work. It's pretty, a piece of cake. It's easy. And the first couple of times I did it, he said, well, you did a pretty good job there, but now he took me outside and said, now look at the side of the car, where I had not quite got all the deadener inside the wheel well, and part of it, the fan came out and sprayed the side of the car, so now a repair person had to wash the car. So it was quite an art to do that. And then if you looked at the environment, it was always hot up there, and it seemed like there was always a fan blowing in the wrong direction. So even though you thought you were clean, when you looked in the mirror, after about 4 hours, you had black speckles all over you, and it was hard to get off. So between the heat and the difficulty of the job, and your shoes would get all gummed up, that would have to be probably my worst job that I remember.
And so outside of your training job, what was one of your better jobs?
Well, I always liked, I always liked hanging paper on the cars. It seemed like that was a, once you learned that art, it was a pretty nice job. And we didn't have to do every job. You know, I had to put masking paper on the back windows of certain models and run a couple screws. So that was a pretty easy job, but then it depended on what production was doing. With quite often it'd go the other way. You'd get a lot of bad jobs right in a row. So the good ones didn't last that long. Probably the next best job was getting on skilled trades when I could, if I wasn't working, I could do what I wanted, basically relax or sit in a chair, read the paper. So that ended up probably being the best job.
So Can you, during your course and your time as a trainer, has there been ever a time when teaching was real rewarding for you? Or one maybe stood out?
Well, I can, it seems like always when I got to a point where I was wondering if my quality of my instruction or facilitating was heading downhill or if I'd lost track, every now and then I would get an evaluation from a student that would be really open and honest and tell me what a good job I did. So it kind of fired me up. So I thought, well, maybe I'm still on track. Maybe I'm doing okay. So the course evaluations, I always looked at them, and for the most part, I tried to follow what they try to make improvements accordingly.
So there were a lot of dummies, but somebody finally got it right and recognized your ability. Right?
Thank you, Bill.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.